More uncertainty about Greece as world leaders meet in France.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Leaders from the Group of 20 leading economies are meeting today in Cannes, France, and all eyes are watching debt-soaked Greece and that country's planned bailout referendum, a referendum that the Associated Press reports is now in question. President Obama is in France, and in talks with the French President Nicolas Sarkozy, the president said Europe needs to do more.
Here at the G20, we're going to have to flesh out more of the details about how the plan will be fully and decisively implemented.
President Obama today in France. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now by about a percent, 113 points for the Dow at 11,949. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 each up about 0.75%. Fewer people sought jobless claims last week. Benefits, the Labor Department said today, the number was down by 9,000. That is an encouraging sign for the job market. European shares are higher today. The European Central Bank cut interest rates by 0.25%. In Britain, the drug maker GlaxoSmithKline will pay the U.S. government $3 billion to settle a handful of long-lasting legal claims. Some of those charges are for Medicaid fraud, an area where federal prosecutors have been getting tough. Here's Marketplace's Eve Troe.
Medicaid rebates work like this. Drug companies sell medicine to doctors, then they tell the government how much they charged, and Medicaid pays the doctors back. It's supposed to be a zero-sum game based around a drug company figure called the average wholesale price, or AWP.
There's a quip that says AWP stands for ain't what's paid.
Gail Walensky used to run Medicaid. Now she's with the nonprofit Project Hope. She says drug companies have been charging doctors one price, then telling the government to reimburse them for more. The doctors pocket the difference. When the feds notice, they sue. And most drug companies, including GlaxoSmithKline, have millions or billions of dollars set aside to fight it. That's why the government goes after them first. But Walensky says truly stopping fraud takes more.
You do have to look not just at the deepest pocket, but going to look more broadly to aggressively go after individuals or hospitals or drug companies or device companies that are not following the rules.
The government has set up two new task forces to do that. Federal prosecutors plan to double their cases for health care fraud this year. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances, November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
Later today, Groupon will unveil the price of its stock that will likely start trading tomorrow, valuing the company far less than expected. But Marketplace's Steve Henn reports now Groupon shares have been selling for more on the private markets.
The creation of big public markets for shares of still privately held tech companies has transformed Silicon Valley. Entrepreneurs here can now cash out before their companies even go public. Bubbles can inflate and pop before an IPO.
We're talking about an uninformed market, by and large.
Steve Kam is a Bay Area tech investor. He says private companies like Groupon that trade on so-called secondary markets don't have to disclose a lot of details about their books. That means
uninformed transactions, uninformed buyers and sellers, uninformed pricing. That's the problem with the secondary market.
When Groupon filed to go public, investors finally got a good look at its books and enthusiasm cooled. Jack Coffey's a securities professor at Columbia University.
Sordid things occur in this sort of shadowy world of being part public and part private.
This summer, trades on secondary markets pegged Groupon's value at close to $20 billion. Today, it's roughly half that. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
A new study says poverty is not only growing here in the United States, it's also clustering, meaning the number of folks living near one another in poor communities is on the rise. From Station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut, Greg LaMolt reports.
Here are the list of the pantry days. People at the New Opportunities Community Action Agency in Meriden, Connecticut, line up for information on food pantries. Jaylene Rodriguez came by to find out about home heating assistance. She lost her job in May, and she says things are pretty tough in Meriden right now.
I see that people want opportunity, but the doors are being shut down.
Meriden's an old industrial town in the center of Connecticut, within 20 minutes of four larger cities. The industry left years ago, and unemployment is more than 10%. A new report by Elizabeth Kneebone of the Brookings Institution looks at what she calls concentrated poverty. That's neighborhoods where at least 40% of people live below the poverty line. And she says it's suburban communities like Meriden that have seen the fastest increase in people living in neighborhoods like that.
And the concern there is as these suburban clusters of poverty grow, that we're creating communities that are walled off or isolated from opportunities like better jobs and better schools.
She says over the last decade, there's been an increase of 2.2 million Americans living in these poverty clusters. That reverses a downward trend that was seen in the booming 1990s. This kind of concentrated poverty nearly doubled in Midwestern metro areas over the last 10 years and increased by a third in southern cities. And it's felt in northeastern towns like Meriden, where Rodriguez says people like her may just have to leave.
Children and family will die here if they stay here in this kind of condition. I'm telling you, with my experience, we will never survive if this keep on.
Are you planning right now that you're going to leave Meriden?
Yeah, that's my next goal. If I cannot make it, I will have to leave myself.
She says she's still hoping, though, that a good job will come through. In Connecticut, I'm Craig Lamolt for Marketplace.
Finally, Amazon.com's got a new digital book lending library available to Amazon Prime members with their Kindles. The program will start off with only 5,000 titles, with only one checkout at a time, once a month, for $79 a year, which leads me to one important question. Where's the public library again? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Nepotism, corruption, cronyism, all in a day's work for big business in Syria.
I love Syria. I love the president. I love everything he do. He give us a lot of promises and he achieve a lot of targets.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Syria, where being pro-government is good for the bottom line. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.